Racing, I-76 East, exit 29 in Talmadge. Open 9 to 9, 7 days a week.
Mike and Mike's NFL training camp coverage on ESPN 850 WKNR is brought to you by Lycan Motor Company's Sprinter. Tune in every weekday this month for the latest on every NFL team heading into the 2014 season. Presented by Lycan Motor Company's Sprinter, 38750 Mentor Avenue in Willoughby. Want to feel what it's like to potentially help save up to 3 lives? The American Red Cross has an urgent need for blood donors right now to prevent an emergency shortage and ensure an adequate blood supply. Platelet donors and those with O negative, B negative, and A negative blood types are especially needed. To find the nearest opportunity and schedule an appointment, call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcrossblood.org. Choose your day and give.
When Haslam, Farmer, and Pettin talk, listen to them on the official show of the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Weekdays at 1 on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Michael Regai here to tell you all about Jim Heiser and Bullseye Activewear. Bullseye Activewear is a local family-owned company with over 20 years' experience furnishing sportswear and promotions for everyone from small businesses, schools, and churches to Fortune 500 companies, colleges, and professional sports teams. Got to check them out on Facebook or set up an appointment to meet at their new facility in Brunswick and see how they can improve your uniform, spirit wear, corporate apparel, client gifts, and more. Check out Bullseye Activewear at bullseyeactivewear.com or call them 330-220-7. T20.
Now you can listen to ESPN 850, WKNR, and KNR2 anywhere you go with the free ESPN Radio app. Follow the Cleveland sports scene on your mobile device. Absolutely free. Simply go to the App Store and download ESPN Radio. Listen live to ESPN 850 WKNR shows, live play-by-play, and more. It's new and improved, and for the first time ever, it's free. Cleveland Sports Authority is now available anywhere you go. Download the ESPN Radio app free today and stay in touch with the Cleveland sports scene on ESPN 850 WKNR. The Really Big Show. Big Show with Tony Rizzo. Weekday mornings at 9 on ESPN 850 WKNR, Cleveland.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagora.
All right, here we go. What's up, everybody? Happy Thursday. Nathan Zagora, the Notorious V.I.C., Vic Carucci with you here live from the Dog Bowl in Berea. The Browns are off today. There is no practice. They will return tomorrow for their final practice of the training camp season out here in Berea. Unfortunately, tickets are all sold out for that one. Nobody's going to be able to get in unless you've already got a pass. But you know what, Notorious? It has been a very good training camp session. I've certainly enjoyed it. You know, I'm sad to be seeing it go. I'm sad that, you know, tomorrow is literally the last practice of training camp.
Well, it puts you in a routine like it does for the players and the coaches to get here in the morning and then go out in a practice field and watch some football and watch how this team is progressing and get to watch a wide variety of players, especially the ones that you know aren't going to be on the team. But it gives you a gauge, I think, in certain ways as to where we think this team is and how it is progressing. And for the most part, I agree with you. It's been a good camp. I think most of my reviews are on the positive side, but that most of that is reserved for the defense. I'd say my biggest problem through this camp is not seeing enough offense and wondering how much of that is because the defense has been great or the offense has been not so great.
Hopefully we'll get more of an answer to that on Monday, and hopefully we'll get a positive one from the offensive standpoint. You know, still waiting to see the offense score its first touchdown this year, still waiting for a ruling on Josh Gordon, and currently we are still waiting to find out who will start the game at quarterback for the Cleveland Browns when they take on the Washington Redskins on ESPN for Monday Night Football. We're going to get a lot of perspectives on all of this. Obviously, if any news in that regard or any regard breaks, we certainly will let you know here today.
Speaking of which, can I jump in?
Go ahead.
So there was a tweet yesterday by Sage Rosenfels.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
NFL quarterback. Titillating. That would be the word, right? You like that word?
I do. For a variety of reasons.
It got people definitely fired up about what he might be implying when he said a transaction could be coming up, or words to the effect that will impact two franchises. He didn't say which franchises. He didn't say what would happen, what the move was, even if it, whether it was a trade or anything. But strongly, the wording of it all strongly hinted that that's what he was talking about. Two teams getting together to make a deal that would impact those two teams greatly. So I did some investigating. I know we were doing some during the show yesterday. I did some late into last night. And I can tell you this much, and this is as close to the source as you can get, the source being Sage Rosenfels, that he is going to be sitting on this story, this whatever the next development is. He said he could have something after the weekend, after he gets confirmation from his primary source in all this. So this thing is going to stay. He said it's still out there. Said it's still an active story. Again, I have no idea, and I want to stress, I have no idea if this has any involvement with the Browns in any way, shape, or form. But he's counting on a key source with a team that is supplying him this information. And of course, people have connected the dots with Kyle Shanahan because they work together in Houston and in Washington. But this is in Houston, I should say, but this is something to just kind of keep in the on the back burner. Still
interesting, yeah. Interesting. So hopefully we'll get. Listen, we're gonna know a lot of stuff by the end of this weekend. Certainly about the Browns. Certainly about Josh Gordon. Hopefully, no guarantee there. Certainly about who's gonna start a quarterback for this football team. And we're going to talk about a lot of that stuff today with a lot of different people. Mary Kay Cabot from the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com will be with us at 1:30 p.m. Eastern. Terry Pluto from the Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com will be with us at 2 o'clock Eastern. We also hope to hear from the Intercontinental Champion of the World, The Miz, Cleveland's own, formerly of Cleveland, depending on which day you talk to him on. talk to us about SummerSlam, his upcoming match for the Intercontinental title against Dolph Ziggler, also from Cleveland. And also the Browns in the preseason and his thoughts on everything that's going down. So we hope to hear from him today as well. We're going to play a little fact or fiction in the second hour. But always, we do want to hear from you. 216-578-0850. And we're going to start off with the Ohio Business Machine's hot topic of the day. And I'll go throw it like this. I'll throw it to you, and we'll make it a question to our audience because I want your feedback on it as well. 216-578-0850. Who should start at quarterback for the Cleveland Browns this Monday?
Johnny Manziel should start Monday night. I think that for sure this team needs to see him get a full amount of time working with the ones. He needs it, but more importantly for the evaluation of who should be the starter on September 7th, the coaches need to see it. He has made enough progress to earn this start. He showed enough, even working with the twos against twos last Saturday night, again in Detroit, to warrant this. And his progress on the practice field says as much. And I think they'll go into that first game, if they don't give him this opportunity, missing a piece of key evaluative information. And they have to get it by starting him in this game.
And I'm going to agree with you. I think Johnny Manziel should start this game. I think that he has done enough in his progress to earn the right to start. Mike Pettine saying that Johnny Manziel would have to earn that right. I think he's done that. I think he's earned the right to get an opportunity against another first team. The only situation in which I don't think Johnny Manziel should start Monday is if the decision's already made. And that is Brian Hoyer starting week one against Pittsburgh. The decision has been made. The competition in our minds is over, and we don't want him to take any snaps at all behind that second team offensive line. That's the only, in my mind, the only justification for starting Brian Hoyer on Monday.
Okay.
And I don't believe that's the case. I don't think it should be the case, so that's why I say Johnny Manziel.
I'm with you. I don't think that that's the case either, but if there's two sides to a decision being made thing. The other decision could be that they've decided that Johnny Manziel is the starter on September 7th. And in that case, then starting him against the Redskins, I think makes perfect sense to try to go to the natural progression of him then being the starter for the game number three tune-up game, the traditional tune-up preseason game, and then get a lot less work in the fourth game, but extensive action with the ones through most of the half Monday night, and then through a full half, possibly into the third quarter in game number three against St. Louis at First Energy Stadium. So there's a possibility that a decision could be made that way too. I have to believe that this coaching staff is, if they haven't made up their mind, Nathan, are leaning in a particular direction. There has been enough in terms of practice work, and yes, it's only been one game, but I think they've had enough through the offseason, practice in training camp, and one preseason game to have the vast majority of what they want to do in their mind and go from there.
I think that they must. I think that they have an idea, and again, I think if you look at it, if Johnny Manziel starts Monday, I don't think that tells us anything about who starts week one. If Brian Hoyer starts Monday, I think that ends the discussion. I think Brian Hoyer starts week one, barring an injury or a catastrophic performance. Would you agree with that?
I would fully agree with that. Yeah, if Brian Hoyer is your starter Monday night, then it's game over. When the announcement's made, it's pretty much game over, because you're just saying, okay, this isn't a real competition at this point, or if it was, then the competition's over. You know, I don't think it would call into question the validity of the competition as much as it would say, look, this is the pace at which they made their minds up, and they made the decision now, right? Because you could always argue, look, we didn't have our mind made up 3 days ago or 4 days ago. We made up our mind as we sat down to decide the starting quarterback for this game, and when we said it would be Brian Hoyer, we've also said he may not come flat out and say Hoyer's the September 7th starter, but effectively we're all going to think that.
Absolutely. We would all think that. The other question, another Ohio business machine hot topic of the day, which is one that I think we can just put to rest because I'm pretty darn sure it isn't happening, but what if you were going to say 0 to 100, the percent chance of any type of a trade involving Brian Hoyer to the Houston Texans for Andre Johnson? I'm going to put it at 0%.
I'm there too. I don't think it's a reality at all, because the in terms of the fairness of the deal from the Texan standpoint, and this is no offense to Brian Hoyer. It's going to sound like offense to Brian Hoyer, but you can't, that's not a deal Rick Smith as a general manager or Bob McNair as an owner, or certainly Bill O'Brien as a head coach in Houston, can make and get away with and sell to their fan base. You're bringing in an unaccomplished quarterback, which is what Brian Hoyer is. You're just saying, we'll get anybody but somebody we've got on our team now. That's how bad things are. So this will appease the fan base, and it won't if you're giving up the guy who is your best playmaker and the guy who gives whoever is quarterbacking that team the best chance to make plays.
For sure. So, then you get into the dead money factors, where they'd have about $22 million tied up with Matt Schaub and Andre Johnson, per reports. I don't think that's what they're doing down there in Houston. I don't think they think they're a team that is that far away that they're willing to give away one of their best players, and guy who really has been the face of that franchise, in Andre Johnson. Question that comes up, and this will be, I will keep this going in the Ohio Business Machine's Hot Topics of the Day. By the way, we're going to hear some sound from Barkevious Mingo later today. And this is about Johnny Manziel and, of course, Brian Hoyer. And this comes from at SBLammy12. He says, Nathan, does it matter who starts Monday as long as both get first-team reps? And I'm going to say, yeah, it does matter. Because whoever starts first is going to play with the first-team offensive line the whole time. Whoever comes in second is probably not going to play with the exact first-team offense the entire time, because you don't want to have 50 snaps out there of Alex Mack and Joe Thomas. There's just no reason to risk them for that long at this juncture. So when you think about it in that framework, and that's one reason it matters. The other reason it matters is because if you want to see Johnny Manziel work with the first team offense, and you're considering him as a starter, you need to see him work against a first-team defense as well. And the only way to guarantee you see Johnny Manziel get meaningful reps, which means probably multiple series against the first-team defense of the Redskins, is to start. And plus, I want to see how he reacts knowing that he is the starter.
I don't think you can carry out a plan. You could have the plan, but I don't think you can realistically carry out a plan that has two starting quarterbacks getting equal reps with the first unit
not
offense.
Possible.
It doesn't work. I don't know that I've ever seen it work, especially when you're dealing with a line like this that has people like Joe Thomas and Alex Mack, two highly accomplished league-wide credentialed players that you just have to preserve. And keeping them out there for an extended period to get a great equal look at these two quarterbacks is kind of foolhardy and dangerous to do. So I don't see that working. I see... You're right. The starter will get the full complement of those plays with that line, and of course with the receivers. You would throw tight end Jordan Cameron in the mix. You take and that's another thing. How long do you keep Cameron out there? I mean that you're gonna push the envelope too far with that. So no, I don't think you can satisfy the idea of getting them both equal reps that way.
I agree with you there. One other thing that I wanted to talk to you about is if Josh Gordon, we expect some type of ruling to come down soon. Number one, do you believe that the kind of the leaking of information coming out of the NFL right now that future domestic violence suspensions will be considered to be a year, a good sign, a bad sign, or no sign as it relates to Josh Gordon?
You know, I've seen the speculation. Pro Football Talk has kind of gone there to say that the leak of the information regarding the league rethinking, wow, what a concept, rethinking its punishment for domestic violence cases and obviously ratcheting it up and making it more severe punishment than they did with the two games for Ray Rice. And I still, my sense on that, by the way, is that should have happened immediately. In other words, even after, let me back up for a second. When you issued the punishment, you should say, this is what we're doing now based on what we've done before, following form and guidance or guidelines that we've had in place. But we are going to, as a league, review this and do it differently the next time around. I know that still probably wouldn't appease a lot of people, but it would have sounded a lot better than saying that at the outset or the first public comment that the commissioner made about this, then revisiting it now and leaking it to the Washington Post and kind of backdooring your way into changing the conversation about this. But back to your point, I would be shocked if there wasn't some agenda attached to how they handle the Gordon case because of the incredibly unfavorable publicity, and rightfully so, that they've received over the Rice thing. I think by letting people know that they'll drop the hammer harder on domestic violence cases is another way of sort of justifying when the hammer gets dropped on a case involving whatever it involved for Josh Gordon, multiple failures of drug testing.
I think there are two ways to look at it, and we'll find out which one's the right one. Number one is that they are putting this out there because, and I'll start with the glasses half full, because that's my attitude on life, so I'm going to go with that one. That they are clearly aware of the PR backlash that has happened with the Ray Rice situation. They want to address that, and they will be cognizant of, they're so cognizant of that fact that they will be a little bit more lenient with Josh Gordon than otherwise, and they're also setting up saying, listen, we can be smart here, and we're going to be smarter in the future about where we really screwed up. So that's why this information's coming out. Now, the glass is half empty would say they're putting this out here because they're about to drop the hammer on Josh Gordon for 16, and they're saying, don't get so caught up in the 16 for this. We realize it's inequitable with Ray Rice, but we know that we're going to fix that. So in the future, when you see a Ray Rice-type situation, they're going to get 16 games just like Josh Gordon just did.
Yeah, that's – and I'm not – saying this because it's a glass half empty perspective. I just think that's the perspective. It seems to follow suit.
I think it stinks and I hate it.
All right. It does stink. Of course it stinks. The whole thing, again, starting with the whole Rice situation, and you can't separate them now. So every conversation concerning domestic violence suspensions or any suspensions obviously will envelop ones that involve something else and something that we would deem a lesser victimless crime or however you want to phrase what Josh Gordon is involved in. But it doesn't stop the fact that the league still has to, by its own arrangement here, by its agreement with the CBA, follow through on punishment that has been bargained. And I had a labor lawyer explain this to me who's not involved with the league, but he said, keep in mind that there has to be, you have to carry out what has been discussed, what has been put in place, because if you don't, it opens the door to other areas of the CBA being compromised. That you can now, if you start selectively, well, here we're going to follow a different set of standards, even though by the book it says we got to suspend this guy for a full year, we won't this time because of these extenuating circumstances. It gets dicey, and he said it gets slippery. And he said even though there's a hearing process and guys get to defend themselves, what the league has to have as its foundation, as its book, so to speak, is the book, is the CBA, which is a thick document that has all these details. And if you start getting slippery over there, why not get slippery on something else that involves how players are acquired or contracts are written? Who knows? It's a gamut of stuff.
For sure.
So I heard that, and I said, you know what? And this is a lawyer, this guy, so I'm just deferring to that knowledge and saying that made sense to me.
It does make sense. I hope it's wrong. But it makes sense.
Right. I mean, it's not good for the Browns, certainly, sure. but it is something that sounds logical, I guess. 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. We've got calls. We'll get to these, but we're not going to get to them right now. We're just getting this show started. It is a football Thursday. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. He is Nathan Zagura. And when you tweet him, you tweet that name. I'm Vic Carucci, so tweet me at this name. And then, of course, there's @Browns_daily. You could tweet us there because we like your tweets. We're going to roll along. We got Mary Kay Cabot coming aboard and Terry Pluto. It's a big Cleveland.com representation on the show today, but we want to get their perspectives. And, again, want to hear from you. And we got some callers on the line, so we'll get to you guys. So stick around on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Connected to every single one in my brain is electric, but I dig bitches like the best Ohio Business Machines and Sharp Copiers, when it comes to Browns fans, their loyalty for our team is unconditional. So is the loyalty that OBM provides to its customers with OBM's exclusive no-risk guarantee and 7-year security blanket. Teamed with OBM's designation.